Good morning. Pardon me. I'm Jack Radabaugh, Chairman of the Missions Committee, and it's my pleasure to introduce our speakers this morning, Kevin and Laura Wooster, missionaries we help support in Siberia, Russia. The Woosters had an interesting path that led them to receive their call to become missionaries for the Lord Jesus Christ. It began with a business trip Kevin made to Russia. While there, Kevin felt that mission outreach was needed in that country. A year or so later, Kevin, accompanied by his wife, Laura, returned. It was then the Woosters felt God's calling for missionary service to Russia. The couple returned home, totally committed to their decision to become missionaries. In the following months, they sold their house and put on a small addition to Kevin's mother's house, where they keep their special items. And during the next 3 years, the Woosters were involved in intensive biblical studies and also made a strong and successful effort to raise funds to support their missionary endeavor. In the fall of 1996, the Woosters commissioning service was held in this sanctuary. In January 1997, the couple left the United States and headed for, can you believe it, Siberia, Russia. The Woosters have two small sons who accompanied them to Siberia. Both were small boys then, and they now are 6 foot men. The oldest, Joshua, was graduated from Biola University near Los Angeles this past December. The youngest, Corey, is in the Army and presently in training to go to Afghanistan either this summer or next fall. And with no further ado, I would like to present the Woosters. But before we do that, I would like you to join me in singing Happy Birthday to Laura, because tomorrow's her birthday. Now, I was told, and I conveniently forgot how old she would be. But please join me. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Laura. Happy birthday to you.
I'm not going to tell you how old I am.
She's young.
Yeah. Well, good morning. And as the Russian would say, Privyetstvuyu. And the Buryats, Sanbano. This is Buryat dress. We are Asian culture over there that we work with. Genghis Khan, in one of his many conquering missions, I guess you could say, came up into Russia and brought the Buryat people. This is a special occasion dress, and I felt this was definitely a special occasion because we're always so excited to be back here, to be back home. And I also wanted to say greetings, a very big greetings, as they say, from the churches of Buryatia. They are praying for you. They are so grateful and thankful that you prayed and sent us out, because now they know Jesus. Not many, but some of them know Jesus. The region is the size of Germany. There's only 1 million people living in that country. Of that 1 million people, 490,000 are Buryat. And of the 490,000, as far as we know, only 0.5% have made a profession to Christ. We got a lot of work to do, so please continue praying for them. And please, please don't forget that they are so grateful. And again, want to say thank you. We've been in Russia for 14 years. The last 3 years, we moved to a very small village. Well, actually, not to them, but it's 7,000 people. And I understand Sugar Mill Woods has 8,000. So we are smaller, okay. There is a high rate of unemployment and a lot of poverty. And Kevin's gonna share some incredible stories this morning. Thank you again.
She had more to share, but didn't want to. I don't know. We'll get her back up here in a little bit. I wanted to reread a verse that we just had heard, found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now for us, That's been Siberia. You hear it gets cold? It does. Last year it got to 54 below. Yeah, it was cold. When it gets to 40 below, that's as far as our thermometer goes. And it stays there for about 3 weeks at a time, day or night. So when it gets, and it's colder, we have to go on the radio or ask our neighbors because their thermometer gets a little colder than that. But it doesn't matter. It's still cold, okay? But that's where God is with us there. God is with us because you sent us out there. And I wanted to share, reread a verse that we also heard this morning, found in Romans, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You sent us. You thrust us out from here, sunny Florida. Very nice to live here. All of you know that who come from north and come down here and winter here. In January, it was plus 80 degrees here. We got to Siberia the first time. It was minus 35, minus 38. I'm a Florida boy. There's something wrong with that. No, there's not, really. God is with us. God sent us there. You sent us out. You have prayed for us. You have financially supported the ministry that we, as a church, are involved in Siberia. Some of what's going on over there, we can be more open with you as we're here. There are now three churches in Siberia because we said yes and you kicked us out of sunny Florida. There's a deaf church. And in the deaf church, there's about 90 to 100 people that are praising the Lord in sign language. And they're going out to villages outside of Ulaanode and reaching other deaf people. Other deaf people are coming to know Christ because that church is getting the Great Commission and going further. There's a hearing church also in Ulaanode. It started in our living room and our teammates' living room. And at one point, we had 28 people meeting in our living room. Okay, that doesn't sound a lot for some of the houses in America. Who's traveled in Europe or anywhere in Russia? Anybody here? Okay, you know how small the living rooms are. Okay, they're not really big. We were three deep in our living room, and it went out into the hallway. And we told them, we said, we want to divide this group up and move it into two houses. And they said, absolutely not. We have more room. Really? I'm already borrowing chairs from every neighbor we have. And they said, no, we want to stay here and we want to hear about Christ. This church, this body of Christ, people helped donate money so we could buy the first building that we moved into there. And then we sold that building and it moved into another building where there's people praising the Lord because you heard the call and you sent us to Siberia. Thank you. Laura made mention, we live in a small village now, 7,000 people, 65% unemployment. 65%. Alcoholism is rampant over there. They don't have anything to do, so they steal from their neighbor, they sell that to another neighbor, and they go buy alcohol. The good news is, lives are changing. Lives are changing in Siberia because you, Homosassa, sent us to the ends of the earth. We did a winter camp. My wife keeps reminding me it was winter. It was about 38, 39, 40 below. It was cold, okay? We made arrangements with the school in the city to do a winter camp. And I, being an American, and I planned this, and I had all these plans, and I planned on having 70 youth at this winter camp. Well, the first day came, we had 30 workers from either our deaf church that had been started already and the hearing church, and us as the missionaries had 30 workers. 30 kids showed up. 15 of them we had every week at our youth group. So we had 15 new kids. I got discouraged. But what did we hear in Joshua? It says, do not be discouraged. But I was, tell you the truth, I was. I went home and I told Laura that night, and I said, you know, Laura, I'm not going back tomorrow. In fact, we're canceling the camp. We're not going to do it. It is a failure. Wow. I was in the way. And then Laura, true to form, what she always says things like this to me, she goes, Kevin, is that God telling you that we need to cancel this? Or is it you thinking it's not successful because what you had planned isn't happening? Oh, man. I hate it when she does that. I don't know about you guys. I mean, come on. You can't. Okay. I said, all right, I'll go back tomorrow, but there's no guarantee we're going to finish the camp. And she said, okay. She knew we were finishing the camp because she would have said the same thing the next night. We finished the camp. Two girls accepted the Lord that week at a camp I wanted to cancel because I didn't think we had the numbers of the people we needed to have. But God used that camp and brought two girls to the Lord. One of them was a 13-year-old named Vika. Now, let's jump ahead a few years. Vika's at home, and she's Asian. She's a Buryat. At this time, she's about 16, 15 years old. And she's at home with her father and her mother, and her uncle, Valeri, comes over. Now, Valeri, in a video that you're going to see, is in the water baptizing people with me. But at this time, he had only heard a little bit about who Jesus was. And so they're in the kitchen, this man Valeri and Vika's father, and they're drinking small shots of vodka. just little ones for the average Russian, okay? Tiny shots. And they're in there drinking shots of vodka, and what do they talk about? They start talking about Jesus. And Vika's listening from the other room. Now, in the Asian culture, she would never come in and interject anything that she has to say to adults. Never. It just wouldn't happen. But Vika felt the Lord telling her, go in and talk to your dad and to your uncle. And she argued. She said, no, I can't do that. That's my dad. I can't go in. And remember, they're drinking small shots of vodka. Right? But finally, she'd had enough, and she knew the Lord wasn't going to let her go. And she walked in, and this is all she said. This is a young girl, 16 years old. She walks in and says, Dad, Uncle Valeri, what if Jesus is who he said he is? And she walks away. That's all she said. Valeri had a 2-hour drive home to the village. 2 hours he argued with the steering wheel. What do you mean? What if Jesus is who he said he is? For 2 hours he's arguing about that one phrase that a 16-year-old was brave enough to come in while they were doing those small shots of vodka. Because she was sensitive to what the Lord would have her do and say. Because of that, Valeri is on fire for the Lord. He is a praying man. He prays for you. He accepted the Lord. He is growing by leaps and bounds. If he were here to share today, even if it was in Russian, and you wouldn't understand a word that he said, you would know he is convinced of what he believes. You would feel the compassion in his voice, and you would see the love he has for Jesus. That came because you sent us to live where it's 54 below zero. And we said yes, and we went. It's amazing to me to see how God can work through a body that says yes and listens to the voice when God says, send these people out. Support them with prayer. Support them with finances. Send them packages at Christmas, which we love those, okay? Just, okay, to be honest, we don't have the kids anymore. They're grown up, but we still like those. I wanted to share another story with you. Let me continue the one with Valeri real quick. Now, jump a few more years ahead. Valeri has three daughters. His last daughter, Boutique, goes to our youth group. We still do youth group. We're like older than the parents of these children that come to our youth group, but they want us to do it. She just accepted the Lord a month and a half ago. So it's going through the family like wildfire. Lives are being changed for Christ. That's awesome. That's unbelievable how God is working there. How did we get to the village where we are living in Hornets? In 1999, 2000, we were invited by someone who came from the village to Ulan Ude to go back out to that village and do a summer camp. And we said, sure, we'll go. We'll go out to the village. Well, during that summer camp, one of the leaders of the village, who's a former boxer, big guy, huge hands, he shakes hands with you, his fingers come up to here. I mean, big guy, okay? Intimidating man. And kind of large, too. He likes his food. And so he walks up to one of the missionaries that was there, and he says, puts his arm around him, and the guy he did this to was small, a little guy, and he goes, "Hey, let's take a walk." And he goes, "Okay, let's take a walk." And he had no idea what that meant. So they started walking, and they walked to the end of the village, and then up ahead he sees a cemetery. And they keep walking towards the cemetery, and my friend is going, "Where am I going? Why am I walking with this very large man towards a cemetery? What's going to happen here?" So they walk into the cemetery. They walk past through the cemetery. And he bends down, this big man. And he leans down and cleans something off of the ground. And he said to my friend, he goes, "Do you see that?" And at that point, my friend was going to say yes, whether he saw it or not. Okay? And he says, "Yeah, I see that." And this man, this big man, says, "Did you come to finish what these missionaries came to start in 1835. Wow. A big man, leader in the village, asked this man who was scared to death, not knowing what was going to happen, "Did you as missionaries come to finish what they came almost 160 years ago to start?" "Yes, we did." And from those humble beginnings there is a church praising God in the village with about 50 people every week showing up where there had not been a church. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for just kicking us out of warm Florida into the frozen tundra. It's not always frozen, but we added it up. It's like over 6 months of the year it is. So, but that's okay. We're kind of used to it, if you can be that. What you're going to see is a video where we have compiled 3 years of pictures. It's about 3,000 pictures, so it's about a five-hour video. Okay, so you're still awake. Good. But we've condensed that into 5 minutes. So if you want to see all 3,000 pictures, we'll spend some more time with you. But enjoy and realize that this is a direct result of you sending our family, you being behind us with prayer, with support, with your packages, your concern for us, and making us feel like family when we're back here. And we truly do feel like family.
Lord of heaven and earth,
Lord of all creation,
Lord of heaven and
earth, Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy.
Heaven and
amazing to see those pictures every time, because each face has a story. We often ask ourselves, you know, why do we go to 40 below weather, and why do we live in an area where poverty is so high and where alcoholism is in every home? And in 2 Corinthians, it's because Christ compels us. That's what it says. Christ compels us so that they hear, so that they know that there's hope, that they can be free of all that. And I know we're keeping you. I would really like to share a quick letter from the very first believer. She has grown in her 14 years and become a missionary, and she wanted to say thank you. Her name is Maya. She's from Russia. She became a believer 14 years ago. She had been invited to a Christian camp to work as translator for the summer, and she translated for Christian students, American students that had come, and for all the missionaries that were there at the camp. She says, at that time of my life, I was very aware of the sin in my life and was searching for the answers to my questions about God. But I hardly knew where to turn in a country that just had turned away from communism and religion was still hard to find. When I got to the camp, I found an amazing group of people, a melting pot of German and Swiss and American missionaries, deaf believers and Russians. But what struck me right away was the love and incredible sense of unity among all of them, no matter the cultural or social differences. It was a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. My job was to translate sermons from English into Russian, testimonies, and Bible lessons, and also the conversations between the Americans and the Russians. God was flooding my heart and my mind with all the truths about His Son and the salvation He offers, and with the bright examples of how He works in people's lives. I was also given a Bible, and as I was reading, a lot of the missionaries came to me and explained the different passages, and they reached out to me in many different ways. Soon after I got to the camp, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and was joyfully welcomed into the family of believers. Kevin pointed out to me about this family, that it was the largest family on earth with millions of brothers and sisters. The gospel changed my life completely, and in the following years, I had the privilege of being discipled by a number of those missionary families. They were a great comfort and an example of life of faith to me. They were truly living out the life of Paul, who nurtured believers and trained them to serve Jesus. Now that I am myself living in a country foreign to me, I can relate a little bit to what they had to go through, and I appreciate them even more for that, for the way that they reached out cross-culturally and loved us, the Buryat people. It's not an easy thing to do, live in a foreign culture, deal with all the differences, to step out and speak in a foreign language, reach out to people who are suspicious of you. But these people did all that and more in His strength, and the Lord blessed their efforts. I am very thankful for all of you that are behind this work of God in Russia and who enable missionaries to be there and serve, even in Siberia. Thank you. Thank you again for being a blessing to so many, and for being obedient and faithful for all these many years. We are blessed and grateful.